Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
So excited to be with us on Zoom, talking to everyone here. Also on top of that, so excited for all of us watching later on via podcasts, all of our different platforms. Just excited that you're jumping into the Word of God today. And just want to encourage you to open your heart to whatever God wants to say to you, because I know whenever I press into the words of Jesus, that there is something that God wants to speak. So I know as we unpack His Word today, He's going to unpack our lives. So I just want to encourage you to have an open heart, an open mind, and open hands for what He wants to do. So come on, let's pray together and let's jump on in. Father, thank You for each and every person that is pressing in today. That, Lord, You have something You want to say to us, that as we unpack the life of Esther, that, God, You want to show us to take the stand that You've placed us in, that, God, the position You've placed us in is for us, that, Lord, where You have us isn't by accident, but it's by Your design. So, Holy Spirit, I just pray that You give us strength, boldness, courage inside of You today, so that we could go ahead and live on purpose. We pray this, we ask this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, amen, amen. So good to see everybody. Again, we are in Esther chapter 4. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible. That's just my preferred translation. Best translation is the one that you read. So you don't have to read my translation, but I like letting you know in case you want to follow along word for word. So CSB, Esther chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, when Mordecai learned all that had occurred, he tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes, went into the middle of the city and cried aloud and bitterly. He went only as far as the king's gate, since the law prohibited anyone wearing sackcloth from entering the king's gate. There was a great mourning among the Jewish people in every province where the king's command and edict reached. They fasted, wept, and lamented, and many lay in sackcloth and ashes. Esther's female servants and her eunuchs came and reported the news to her, and the queen was overcome with fear. She sent clothes for Mordecai to wear so that he would take off his sackcloth, but he did not accept them. Esther summoned Hatach, one of the king's eunuchs, who attended her, and dispatched him to Mordecai to learn what he was doing and why. So Hatach went out to Mordecai in the city square in front of the king's gate. Mordecai told him everything that had happened, as well as the exact amount of money Haman had promised to pay the royal treasury for the slaughter of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa ordering their destruction. So Hatach might show it to Esther, explain it to her, and command her to approach the king, implore his favor, and plead with him personally for her people. Hatach came and repeated Mordecai's response to Esther. Esther spoke to Hatach and commanded him to tell Mordecai, all the royal officials and the people of the royal provinces know that one law applies to every man or woman who approaches the king in the inner courtyard and who has not been summoned, the death penalty, unless the king extends the gold scepter, allowing that person to live. I have not been summoned to appear before the king for the last 30 days. Esther's response was reported to Mordecai. Mordecai told the messenger to reply to Esther, don't think that you will escape the fate of all the Jews because you're in the king's palace. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people from another place, but you and your father's family will be destroyed. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to your royal position for such a time as this. Esther sent this reply to Mordecai. Go and assemble all the Jews who can be found in Susa and fast for me. Don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my female servants will also fast in the same way. After that, I will go to the king, even if it is against the law. If I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went and did everything Esther had commanded him. Come on, so good. excuse me, a great setup for the stage inside of the life of Esther. So many of us maybe have seen this verse for such a time as this. Maybe some of us saw it in Hobby Lobby, picked up the wall art, and we have it hanging inside of our bathroom. Come on now. Let's be honest with ourselves in the beauty of all things Esther, but such an incredible verse and such great realities to grab onto through the life of Esther. So, just a little bit of context behind this. So, Esther is a Jewish woman who becomes the queen of Persia. And then we also have another person we see inside this chapter named Mordecai. Mordecai is actually Esther's cousin and also known as the guardian or the caretaker. And right here, we see Mordecai playing a very crucial role inside of the events and deliverance of the Israelites. Haman is a high-ranking official who wants to commit genocide over the Jews and the Israelite people. And we have the king, who is in the know but not in the know on what's going on. He appointed Haman, and Haman is using his role because he is offended because Mordecai did not bow down before him. So he's using that as a way of trying to push genocide over the Jewish people. Now, right here, we see Mordecai really urging and expressing the need for Esther to use her position to go ahead and leverage freedom and life for the Jewish people. And we kind of see a little bit of a back and forth, but I really appreciate the fact that Mordecai is real and transparent with his cousin of his. He has no problem telling her, hey, we are in a little bit of a situation, and also is very bold. So I want to just kind of start this off as we break this down in chunks today for all my note takers inside of the house. First note I got for you is this: Mordecai expressed his concern. He expressed his concern. Esther chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, we see Mordecai right here learned what was going on, that genocide was going to be coming to the Jewish people. Obviously, being a Jew himself, held that very closely to his heart, tore his clothes, put on sackcloth and ashes. Now, sackcloth and ashes were, it wasn't Gucci, it wasn't Louis Vuitton, it wasn't something that you put on to wow people in any way, shape, or form. Sackcloth and ashes was very much so clothing of mourning to express to people that I am internally struggling. And he went to as far as the king's gate and started weeping loudly and bitterly, the word says. Now, just note, he was not allowed to go into the king's gate. It was against the law. If Mordecai had actually crossed that threshold in the king's gate, he would have been executed for doing so. So he's sitting here at the very edge, though. So just kind of something to think about. He knew if he went too far, he would be executed, and his purpose that God was working inside of him would have moved on to someone else. But instead, he chose to take it to the very, very edge. And Mordecai was not afraid or ashamed of letting people know where he stood. He knew that God wanted freedom and life for the Jewish people. He knew that God wanted life and didn't want a genocide to overtake a people. So here he is saying, I'm going to stand at the very edge. I'm not going to break the law, but I'm going to push this thing as far as I can get it. And I'm going to sit right here and weep loudly. And I'm going to wait for God to bring an opportunity for freedom for my people. And I want to share this with you because when I was reading this, I felt so inspired and so grateful. Because here's why I love our church. Our church is not a church that is afraid or ashamed to let people know what we are for. Because here's Mordecai letting people know what he is for. He's for life, he's for families. Come on, he is for the freedom of people. And I want to tell you, I'm so grateful that our church is for life, abundant life, and eternal life. Come on now. Our church is for broken people. Our church is for families. It's for kids. It's for marriages. It's for the homeless, for the single moms, the single dads. Come on. Our church is not afraid to say what we are for, and we will push it as hard as we can because we want people to know that we are so for life inside of our area. And here's Mordecai doing the same exact thing. And Mordecai was absolutely broken over the fact that genocide was going to be coming to the Jewish people. See, he was broken over the injustice that was coming their way. And I just want to ask you a question, and it's probably good to kind of unpack within ourselves. What has broken you lately? Because as we're looking at this life of Mordecai, we start seeing him broken over the reality that his livelihood, come on, his heritage, the legacy of what God did inside of the Jewish people was going to be coming to an end, or if I shouldn't say an end, there'll always be a remnant. But however, there is going to be people, unfortunately, perishing at the hands of these people. And so here he is broken over this reality. So I want to ask you, what has broken you lately? Because when we see injustice, when we see those going through pain, when we hear the stories, and come on, there's endless stories, there is something that should always break us. And I've always found that when something starts to break my heart, God is sowing purpose within me to be the difference maker inside of that area. Come on, as we're in the series of being a difference maker, so often we have to find out what frustrates us the most, what breaks us to actually make a difference in what God has placed inside of our hands. Because you see, we should be frustrated enough to want to see something change. If we just get okay with the status quo, come on now. If we just get okay, and forgive me, but if we get okay with the boss that does the injustice and we just let it slide constantly, if we get okay with the one family member that says the off-color comment at the family party and always says it every single time they come, suddenly what we realize is what we tolerate begins to dominate. And what was once small starts becoming really big. So I want to encourage you, that thing that is frustrating you, so often God wants to use it to create a difference and an eternal impact. So we want to be frustrated enough to see a change, but have enough hope to see what it could be like once God gets his hands on it. Come on now. Because if we just stay frustrated, we're just going to be angry. But we don't want to just stay angry. Well, how many of us have met those angry people that's like, why are you so mad all the time? Come on, we don't want to just stay frustrated all the time. We want to have enough hope to see what it looks like. Because as I was praying into this today, all I could think was, man, how many times have we been in places inside of our marriages, or maybe if you're not married, our friendships and our relationships, and we find ourselves that we are in the same exact problem that we've been in for the past 10 years. And we find ourselves circling the same exact mountain. Come on now, having the same exact conversation. As my wife and I were talking last night, she was like, I'm so happy you finally do the dishes. And I said, I don't know what my problem was that I wouldn't do the dishes. But for 5 years, we had the same conversation about doing the dishes. We have the same conversations. Maybe it's not as light as dishes, but however, we notice that we're circling the same things over and over again. Maybe if it's not the marriage that never seems to get better, maybe it's children's lives who have simply walked away from Jesus. And our hearts are broken over this reality that they are embracing new ideologies, over walking in not life, but walking into death. Maybe it's the job that irritates us beyond belief. Maybe it's that loved one that has not yet embraced Jesus. I want to tell you, I'm more fired up going into this Easter season about my loved ones that don't know Jesus. On top of that, maybe it's just the sin patterns that we can't seem to shake. I want to tell you, we got to start getting frustrated with the sin patterns that we can't seem to get rid of. We got to get sick and tired of feeling sick and tired, because I want to be like Mordecai, who said, I'm going to do anything and everything that I can. I'm not going to break the law. Come on. I'm not going to do what I'm not supposed to do, but I'm going to do everything I can to get this stuff to change. So I want to ask you, if you actually want to see a change in your life, if you want to see a change inside of your region, your job, your family, what are you willing to do? Are you willing to put on the sackcloth and ashes? Not literally, come on, metaphorically. Don't walk around your house in sackcloth. Don't walk into your job with sackcloth and ashes on yourself and say, the pastor told me to today. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is, are you willing to be broken enough to actually see a change inside of the areas of your life, in your family's lives? Because I want to tell you, we serve a God, as Ephesians 3:20 says, that he will do more than we could ask or think according to the power that works inside of us. Well, right here, we see Mordecai expressing his concern. He shows us that he has a broken heart for the purposes of God inside of the Jewish people. So we see here him expressing concern. Right after that, we see Mordecai doing something else. We see Mordecai examining the gift. Verses 4 through 9, we see Esther's female servants and her eunuchs come and tell her what's going on. And you see, Esther was overcome with fear. I want to tell you that inside of our lives and in different moments, we may find ourselves overwhelmed with fear. Maybe it's the fear of the future. Maybe we have the fear of the unknown. Maybe you're like me, and so often when I feel like God is calling me to jump, when God is calling me into the next stage, the next rung on the ladder, I start trying to calculate all the variables. And the first thing I start thinking is, okay, this doesn't make sense. So maybe it's not God, but hello, how often do the purposes of God want to work themselves out after we get there? And he wants to kill the fear of the unknown. But here's what I really love. We see Esther, someone in a very powerful position, is sitting here afraid because her cousin Mordecai is sitting there, sackcloth and ashes, weeping bitterly. It wasn't something that was popular at the time, but he was not ashamed and he was not afraid to stand for what was right. And Esther summons someone, Hatach. And he's one of the king's eunuchs that was assigned to attending her. So he had royalty to or loyalty to the king, but he was also loyal to Esther. And Esther right here sends some clothes to Mordecai. He says, "Change your clothes. You don't need me in sackcloth and ashes. I understand it's not the most popular thing, but I'm going to send you a nice set of clothes. You're going to look good." And Mordecai right here denies the clothes for an opportunity to get a message to Esther. You see, the fresh clothes from the palace would have been nice, but Mordecai examined the gift and he knew when to say no. And I want to press into this idea today that so often we as people, and if you're a people pleaser, I'm just going to let you know, this is going to rub you a little bit, but just know I'm just doing it because I love you. You have to know when to say no. Because every time we say yes to something that we're not supposed to say yes to, we are saying no to the thing that we are supposed to say yes to. Does that make sense? Because so often, if we spend all of our life saying yes, we are telling people and other things no. And here is Mordecai saying, "No, I'm not going to accept the fancy clothes. No, I'm not going to accept the beautiful clothes from the palace." Come on now. She wasn't sending another sack. She was sending clothing from the palace. And Mordecai says, "Absolutely not. I am standing on a purpose." He knew when to say no. And when we say no, we're really doing three incredible things. The first thing is this: protecting your time and energy. I want to let you know, you do not have 25 hours in a day. I know spring forward just happened, but you lost an hour of sleep. And you may have felt it when those kids were banging on your head saying, "Mommy, Daddy, it's time to get up." I know I felt it at 3 a.m. as my little 7-month-old screamed his face off. And I was like, "Oh, this is horrible." And I realized it was really 4 a.m. And I said, "God, have mercy on your servant." But we have to know when to say no because it protects our time and protects our energy. You have finite time, you have finite energy, as we all do. And when we say no, it allows us to prioritize the thing that aligns with what God is calling us to. Because how can I say yes to what God wants me to do when I'm always saying yes to the things He hasn't called me to? You see, if we say yes to anything and everything, and it may even be good things, please hear me. I'm not saying you're saying yes to sin. You may be saying yes to good things inside of your life. It may sound fantastic. Man, it may have touched your heart in all the right ways. But I want to tell you, sometimes you have to say no to what is good to say yes to what is great. And God wants to do great things inside of your life. So we have to actually protect our time and energy by saying no. Because Mordecai right here was protecting the sacrifice and his reputation that he was putting on the line for the sake of life inside of the Jewish people. On top of that, when you're protecting your time and energy through saying no, we are actually preventing burnout inside of our life. Because so often, as this terminology of burnout grows and grows and grows inside of our culture, we notice that as Pastor Brennan defines burnout for us so often, he says it's when your outputs exceed your inputs. You got to know when to say no to some outputs. Come on, somebody. You actually have to say no to giving sometimes, to say yes to filling up sometimes. So we want to learn when to say no because we want to maintain a healthy balance between loving Jesus and loving people. On top of it, when we say no, we're actually maintaining our integrity. When I was writing this is my favorite thing. I was like, man, I love it when people tell me no, because what they're telling me is I'm prioritizing this, and this inside of my life, and I'm maintaining my integrity because I'm explaining to you who I am and who my values are. When you actually say no, you are avoiding keeping false promises. And I'm avoiding telling people, yep, I'm going to do it and not follow through on my word. So often it's about building trust and also following through on the commitments that I actually really want to make. On top of it, when we say no, we're improving our mental and emotional health, because I can't tell you how many times that I said yes to something and I should have said no to it. How many times I say yes to following through on something, and then as soon as I walk away from the conversation, I sit there, I'm like, why did I say yes to that? I never should have said anything. I should have said no, I'm sorry, I don't have the time. I love you, right? But it becomes a stressor. And then I feel, I don't know, maybe you're different, but I feel all of a sudden inside of me, as this growing stress starts to happen, I start feeling pressure on my shoulders and I say, I have to follow through on this because I gave them my word. But I want to tell you, when we say no to things that God isn't calling us to, and we say yes to the things He is calling us to, suddenly we start having a lot more peace. That mental, emotional health start following the Spirit of God, because here He is working in and through us. Mordecai said no to what looked good. Those clothes probably look great, but he said yes to what is great. And that was the freedom and life inside of the Jewish people. And here he is talking to this individual named Hittash. Hittash was a servant of the king. He was loyal to the king. And believe it or not, here's what I love about the Bible. Outside of this chapter right here, he was never mentioned again. This is not someone who is integral to the story of Esther in namesake. He's not someone who we see quoted by Jesus in the New Testament. He certainly wasn't prophesied by any prophet saying there's going to be this eunuch sometime talking between Mordecai and Esther. Hittash is spoken about right here in chapter 4. And guess what? He's never spoken about again. It is but a blip on the radar of the story of Esther and the story of freedom for God's people. I'm sharing this with you because so often, especially in the generation, the time, and the age we live in, being famous is so attractive. Having everyone know our name and remember the great stories about us is so attractive. I want to tell you, they don't need to know your name for you to make an eternal impact. They don't need to know who you are. Here is Hittash, who is never talked about again. Because I was reading this chapter and I thought, who is this guy? I don't even remember ever reading his name. I think I was so attracted to, come on, for such a time as this, that I skipped right over Hittash. But I just even want to ask you, come on, what was the name of the person who gave Jesus the loaves and the fish inside of the New Testament? Who was the men who pulled Paul over the wall of Damascus inside of a basket and rescued him from death? Who is the name of the little servant who told Naaman to go and talk to the prophet? These are all no-name people that had an eternal impact, because I've always seen great doors have the ability of swinging on small hinges. And if we all come together with our no-name selves, come on, somebody, I'm good being the no-name person, the no-name servant of God. When we all come together and we say we're going to see this great door swing open, we see God use our very ordinary talents and do the extraordinary through all of it. I don't have to sit here and try and bring the greatest sacrifice. God never asks for the greatest sacrifice. He just asks for the first sacrifice, your heart. Will you bring what matters most? And it's you. So you have attached this no-name person. We never see him again outside of this chapter. Being a part of the story of freedom for God's people inside of this storyline. You may be sitting here wondering, what's my place in what God wants to do inside of our region? What's my place in what God is doing inside of our church? What's my place with the broken people I see on a daily basis? I want to tell you, be the no-name person that just wants to see people get saved. Come on now. Be that no-name person that says, I don't need to be remembered. I just want the name of Jesus to be famous, the name of Jesus to be remembered everywhere I go. Because here he is expressing the concerns back and forth. And what leads to, because we see Esther go through this internal struggle as she's talking to Hittash and talking to Mordecai, because we see her go from this place of, I can't go talk to the king. The last queen got killed. Didn't you hear about her? And here she is, like, I'm not going in to see the king. And Mordecai saying, listen, If you think you're going to be safe, you're not going to be safe. He was so filled with faith that God was going to bring freedom to the Jewish people. He said, God will deliver us another way if it's not through you. And after he delivers us, if you keep silent, I have a feeling that you're going to end up just like the prior queen, killed. I encourage you to join what God is doing. And I was so encouraged when I read that because all I thought was this messenger, Hattash, brought the truth even when it didn't sound good. Because Hattash bringing this message of truth from Mordecai to Esther could have got him killed by Esther. Because as soon as the queen hears this, she could say, forget this guy, get rid of him, kill the messenger. Yet Hattash said, I want to be a part of the eternal storyline. I want to be a part of the truth. So I'm telling you this because let God use your ordinary to do the extraordinary. I have not seen many extraordinary people get where they are without being faithful inside of the ordinary things that God has called them to every single day, day in and day out. God wants to do incredible things through your life, but it's not through great sacrifices. It's through every little sacrifice compounding into something great. Come on, somebody. And then finally, in our third point for note takers, I got you. He exalts God's timing. So, our three things here. He expressed his concern, he examined the gift, and he exalted God's timing. Because we see as Mordecai and Esther are having this conversation through Hattash, Mordecai tells the messenger in verse 13 to reply, don't think that you will escape the fate of all Jews because you're in the king's palace. Basically saying, you can't escape this. It's going to happen. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance are going to come to us. Come on, he is full of faith right here. But you and your father's family are going to be destroyed. And who knows, perhaps you have come to this royal position for such a time as this. Come on, here's as we saw. Here's the t-shirt. This is what I love. Here's the wall art. I'm pretty sure we have this on a wall in our house somewhere. My wife is addicted to Hobby Lobby. We have Bible verses all over this house. Every time I turn around, I said, there's another cliche one, but it's so good. It's so good for such a time as this. I have found so often inside of my life, God's timing has been the thing that I've wrestled with so often. And maybe you're like me that has wondered why God chooses the timing that he chooses. Maybe you're like me, and if it were in your hands, you would make it happen faster. Because I'm the person that doesn't say, let it marinate some, let it come faster. And I was reminded as I was cooking this past Saturday, I'm the chef of the Warner household, and I decided that I was going to slow cook a pork shoulder. And I put this sucker inside of the crock pot. I don't have the smoker running yet, but I got the seasonings on it. I got the rubs, doing all the stuff. And I got inside of the crock pot and I was just letting that sucker go. And after it was in there for 3 hours, I sat there and looked. I was like, all right, come on. Like, man, I'm ready for some pork shoulder. The smells are filling the house. Come on, somebody. When it smells too good coming from the kitchen, I'm like, this is starting to get me a little bit. You go back to add a little apple cider vinegar just to kind of get the little rub on it, get a little juice in there. And I was like, oh, it smells too good. We're at hour five at this point, and this sucker's still just slow cooking. I'm like, the temperature is like halfway there. We're not even there yet. And I'm like internally like a giddy child on Christmas Eve, just waiting to open my toys, man. It was brutal just waiting for this food to get done. And the timing took forever. And then finally, when it got done and I pulled that sucker apart and I had the first bite, soon as I took the bite, this is kind of sad. So listen, don't judge me today, okay? This is why I love Fusion Church. We're not judgmental people. I took that bite, I looked at that pork shoulder, and I said, oh, you were worth the wait. But I'm sharing this with you because I think we have to treat the promises of God the same way. That so often when we could smell the breakthrough coming, come on, when I smell it coming, when I can taste it in the air that God is about to move, and then when we finally taste it, we can look at what God has done and say, wow, you were worth the wait. I couldn't get it too early, and I know my God won't let me get it too late. But so often, if I were in charge, I would have said, let me get it too early, and it would not have tasted as good. I would have messed the whole thing up. Because I want to tell you, when it comes to walking inside of the promises of God, engaging what God is doing in our life, getting to that place that He's taking us, if we get there too early, guess what? Newsflash, I'm going to be honest with you today. We are going to end up ruining what He wanted to do because we are not yet ready for the promise He wants to give us. And in the same way, the promise is not yet ready for us to get there because we could get there and the promise totally destroys us because it wasn't even ready for us. And right here, Mordecai is telling Esther, come on, for such a time as this to step up. God's timing is aligning, and it's time to step into what He's calling you to. And I want to encourage you today, the timing is aligning. You are not where you are on accident. You may be ready to quit your job yesterday. Come on now. We've all been there. The frustrating days. If I get one more email from my boss, come on, where are my people at, right? If I get one more person that gives me an attitude as I'm trying to check them out, come on. I'm just trying to give you a cup of coffee with a smile. But I want to share this with you. For such a time as this, you have been placed there on purpose for a purpose, and it's to lift up and exalt the name of Jesus. You are there for such a time as this. And it is not an accident that you are there right now. It may feel like you're there by happenstance, but you're not there by happenstance. God has placed you there. And if God has placed you there, guess what? He wants to give you the grace, the mercy, the power to make a difference where you are today because the timing is aligning for such a time as this. And here's something I want to close with. I find this encouraging for me. Mordecai says, if you keep silent, relief and deliverance will come to the Jewish people. It's going to happen. And if you keep silent, you and your father's family will be destroyed. Mordecai has so much faith that God was going to bring life and he was going to do it. Mordecai also had faith that Esther was going to be a part of that plan. But he's noting something. Esther, if you don't want to be a part of the plan, that's your decision. Go ahead and step away. If you don't want to be a part of it, it's all good, but it's going to end up coming anyway. I was so encouraged by this because the purposes of God are so much bigger than us. If it didn't come through Esther, it was going to come through another avenue. But it encourages me because what that tells me is that when God wants to do something through me, he's going to make it happen whether it comes through me or not. But he's choosing to use me. He's choosing to say, you're a part of the plan because the timing is right now for such a time as this for you to step into what I'm calling you to. I'm sharing this with you because he has chosen you today. He's looking at you and saying, I want you to be a part of the eternal impact inside of South Jersey. I want you to be a part of the eternal impact inside of your family and your friends. I want you to be the one to hound them. Come on, we were talking to my freedom group last night about sharing our faith with people. I was like, if you're feeling bored in your faith, you need to start walking around and sharing your faith with people. You'll get unbored really quick when you start telling people about Jesus. I said, all you got to do is walk up to people and say, how can I pray for you? We may not believe the same thing, but who's going to say no to, hey, man, how can I pray for you? I've never had anyone tell me no. you know what? I got this going on. And then next thing I know, they're sitting next to me inside a church because I cared before I ever invited them. So I'm sharing this with you. God wants to make an eternal impact through you for such a time as this. The question is this: are you going to step into it? Are you going to say yes to what he wants to do? Are you going to cross the threshold and say, I want to be a difference maker for such a time as this? So come on, everybody. We see as we look at the life of Mordecai, as we look at the story that God is weaving inside of the lives of Esther, Mordecai, Attash, who is never even mentioned again, Haman, freedom and life for the Jewish people. We see three key things, and it's just through looking at the life of Mordecai. And that first one is this: Mordecai expressed his concern. Mordecai examined the gift because you got to know what to say no to and what to say yes to. And Mordecai exalted God's timing above all else. And I want to share this last point as we close together today. Inside of the book of Esther, we do not see the name of God mentioned once. He's talked about in a way because we see God's people, but in the way of his name being mentioned directly, it doesn't happen once. You may be sitting in a situation right now and you may be wondering, God, where are you? And we've all been there where we've seen the situations unfolding when it's like, man, I'm trying to find out in the pages of my life where God, where are you at? Because everything that keeps on happening, it does not feel or seem like it's coming from you. But I want to tell you, just because you may not see him directly, you may not see his name written on the page directly, his hands are all over it. His fingers have penned it, and he's working it out for your good and his glory. You may feel like he's abandoned you, but I want to tell you, he will not forsake you or leave you. You may feel like he may be leading you in a direction that you don't want to go, but I want to tell you, he walks us through the valley of shadow of death, and we will fear no evil. He doesn't lead us there for us to camp out there. You may be feeling like the situation that you're walking through right now is straight from the pits of hell, and yet our God sits there and rebukes the storms as it starts coming into our lives. So I'm saying this to encourage you. You may not see his name right now, but you can see his hand at work inside of your life. Because for such a time as this, come on now, for such a time as this, that we could see life and life abundantly in today and tomorrow. Come on, let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for what you're doing inside of our lives. Lord, I'm so grateful that we have encouraging stories through the life of Esther, Mordecai, the Hatatzes of the world, that we can see this and say, God, you want to do more than we could ask, think, or imagine inside of us. So, God, I just pray, give us grace today. God, help us see what you see today. Break our hearts for what breaks yours today. That God, we can know that we know that we know that you are on the move, and we are going to pray the prayer of David that we're going to see your goodness here in the land of the living. So, God, I'm so grateful for each and every person listening today. God, help us see for such a time as this. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Everyone said, Amen. God bless you. Have an incredible day.